Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Beasley switches it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Boyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is! Switzerland! And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute! That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. Currently, it looks as though Austin FC is going to get knocked out of the CONCACAF Champions League. 3-0 to Violet of Haiti, this game being played in the Dominican Republic. Welcome in, everybody. A lot to talk about here tonight on the show. We are streaming at ESPN 97.5, and of course, you can call into the show tonight. Not this segment, next segment, because we got a few technical issues going on with my headset. Tonight, we talk about a lot of things. We talk about the Houston Dynamo. We talk about Liverpool and Manchester United and what's going on over the weekend with that match. That was the unthinkable this past Sunday. Liverpool thrashing Manchester United 7-0, prompting United coach Ten Hag to call the second half performance unprofessional. The mentality monsters crushed Manchester United. That one hurt. And tonight we would like to talk about this in great detail. And this in a giant rivalry. Manchester United was broken apart spiritually to the point where they basically quit. And this has to be the focus from a lot of ex-pros and ex-Manchester United players in describing this performance. So this is one we're certainly going to have an eye on here tonight. So let's go to the first half. Liverpool gets a slight edge. They get a late first half goal from Cody Gakpo, their Dutch striker. The second half, they concede 6 goals. Gakpo at the end of the day has a pair. Salah has a pair. Nunez gets 2. And Roberto Firmino got one coming off the bench. Place absolutely blew up when he scored that goal. Bruno Fernandes taking huge criticism. So if you've got a take on this, you give us a call here tonight at 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. So we've had a few technical problems here. Finally got a headset. Plug broke as we were plugging it in. So this is live radio. It's a beautiful thing. All right, so 713-780-3776, a number to call in on Manchester United, Liverpool. Next segment, we'll have Ian Veary on the show. Along with that tonight, we will have Danny Gonzalez joining the program. Danny Gonzalez won a ticket to the World Cup final. If Argentina got in the final, he was going to be able to use that ticket. He flew all the way to Qatar. We will talk to him here tonight. Houston Dynamo, 0-2. Is this crisis mode for you? If you're a Dynamo fan tonight. Now, all of you guys with the podcast, yes, it's going to take time. That's true. That's fair. It does take time. But if you're looking and projecting out, is it the right makeup of this roster to see things improve in the future? We got takes everywhere. Their hot takes are all over the place. People talking about goalkeepers, back four, the real problem for me remains very simple. It's a playmaker and it's a wide game. And if you looked at New England in this game with Dylan Barrero, boy, you kind of wish you had that guy, don't you? Dribbling, beating people, unsettling defenses, breaking lines, all of that. I don't know if that's the type of player Amin Bassi is, and I don't know if that's the type of player that Ivan Franco is. So we're going to see. We'll talk a lot of Dynamo tonight. Victor Ariza will also be on the show. I'm going to give you some of my takes on that as well. Andrew, we have that seven consecutive goals, right? No? Okay, we're not going to do that. So
we have them just individually, not seven as a montage.
Okay. So let's start with the first one then.
Robertson. Oh, it's a Super Bowl. Gakpo is onto it. It's Cody Gakpo!
So that goal came right on the stroke of halftime. That kind of set the tone. And you're thinking, okay, Erik ten Hag, he's a great tactician. He turns things around in the second half. He can do that. All right, we're waiting for that. We've seen United this year have first halves where they didn't look particularly good and come around and just take the game over and win it. Okay, so that's what we're thinking. It's against your great rivals, Liverpool. It's at Anfield. And what happens is it's an early second goal, early second half goal for Liverpool.
Snap back by Fabinho. Taken on by Nunez. And Fabinho again. Here's Mo Salah. And Elliot Nunez!
So that made it 2-1. And then just, it was absolutely incredible. I guess we'll run another one. Let's show the third goal here. It was very funny because the commentators, they were in disbelief as they're calling goal 4, 5, 6, and 7. They don't know what's going on. It's incredible.
Gakpo can turn, and Salah is off on his bike. And Salah's bike is a quick one. Gakpo through the middle. He's taking on Lisandro Martinez. He sat him down. It's Gakpo. It's three.
It's a pair for Cody Gakpo at that point. All right, let's go to goal number, is it 4 now? Yeah, let's go to 4.
Taken on by Henderson. Rolled up here for Nunez. We'll get a second bite. And it falls for Salah!
First the 2 for Mo, and Mo is going to set the all-time record for Liverpool for goals in the Premier League, beating Robbie Fowler's record. Here's goal number 5.
Alexander-Arnold, Van Dijk round the back. Henderson can retrieve this. Lifted in by Henderson. 5! Darwin Nunez! Day of his life!
Let's go to number 6.
Elliot. Firmino. Salah! Liverpool flex their muscle to the power of 6.
And the final 7th comes from a Liverpool legend.
Jones, Salah, he wouldn't, would he? Salah's rolled it in. Firmino! Bobby, 7, heaven!
6 second half goals from Liverpool. Goal scoring machine. They rip apart the Red Devils. Ten Hag, you just can't dismiss this as a bad day. A lot of people were telling me that right off the bat. No, I don't think so. This is your rivals. This can have reverberation, and it has a lot of impact to me because after the second goal, I saw guys quit at this level, getting paid that money against your rivals. I saw them quit. You saw them quit. They couldn't deal with transition. They couldn't run with people. They didn't run with people. Your captain lost his brain. He lost his, you know what, Bruno, who I thought was, he's taken a ton of criticism for his behavior in the second half, yapping at referees. He was never comfortable. But you can't dismiss this as a bad day. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I apologize to Manchester United fans for playing this, but this is the reality of what happened here. So somebody give me a take, your take. ETH is the man to get this right again. And remember, it was those two blasted results in the beginning of the year when you lost to Brentford and you got smacked by City that accelerated decisions from this manager. So if you ever had a manager that's going to get things in the right place, it's ETH. So the Europa League game on Thursday is going to be fascinating to see how Manchester United comes out against Betis. That's, you know, that's a watch you want to be on top of, the Europa League. And again, yeah, Liverpool had the slight edge in the first half, but Manchester United could have went up in this game. 6 second half goals conceded. The lack of responsibility from your captain. It's a team that didn't want to limit damage. It was a team that didn't want to go out with pride against a rival, didn't want to really show an edge. And that's a huge question because it's Liverpool. Now, that's supposedly the worst United defeat in 91 years, apparently. 47th minute goal to start the second half was the epitome of timely, especially since United has been good in second halves when adjustments are made by Eric Ten Hag. And I think it's also going to be interesting to see what Liverpool do in their next match against Bournemouth. Does this just take them sky high? Is there a little bit of a letdown because of what you did destroying a rival? All right, I got tickets to give away tonight. We got Danny Gonzalez being at a World Cup final. We got Victor Ariza at Houston. By the way, for all the guys doing podcasts and covering the Houston Dynamo, let's get some real talk tonight. All right, let's get some real talk in here. The sky's not falling. It's only 2 games. But in the context of everything that's going on, let's get some real conversation about what you think is going on with the team. And you just can't put it off to, well, it's only 2 games in. And you know, we already know that. It's conditioned already right now with the fact that it's early in the season and it's a team that's being put together under a new coach. Same thing as last year. Okay, same thing as last year. So don't come on the air and tell me, well, it's a new team and new play. We're already conditioning and prefacing everything we talk about tonight with that. Okay, so don't forget about that. But we do need to go deep on the Dynamo tonight here. And there's data and everything. And the data, by the way, is not that it's not that explosively different from New England's, except for the fact that New England had a wide game and was timely and had people that, you know, could get in behind people. I mean, that's one of the big takeaways for me. I don't think any question. All right, Fred and Marcus Rashford, you know, Fred just got overran in midfield. So did Casemiro. Rashford had the chance to put the club up. Weghorst playing as the withdrawn guy, you know, he's going to get a lot of criticism because they did not win with him in that position in this game. He did look awkward. The goal that Gakpo scored in the first half was an absolute thing of beauty. If you remember the ball Alisson hit, it's a diagonal ball. It's about 60 yards. It's right to Robertson, who then collects it and comes inside. And as he comes inside, he's sucking people in, and they're having to react to where the ball is moving inside, and then he finds the space to put in Gakpo in behind, and of course he cuts it back on his right foot. Absolute tremendous finish. But the loss of discipline and composure. 1 week ago you were lifting a cup and all things were beautiful and we're dancing, and a week later you got absolutely dismantled, dismembered by your biggest rivals in the biggest rivalry in English football. No question about it. So the Carabao Cup was great. Moose Cup was great. But, man, you did not live up to the moment in that game. And it was pretty stunning to see it all unravel. Andrew, you saw it, right? Second half? Oh, okay. I forgot. I'm using Andrew's headset right now, so there's no communication with him. And my piece that when you plug in and come into a studio, there's an adapter. The thing just broke right in half as we were going on the air. So it's called a technical problem. We're going to take a break, and we're going to get ourselves together here. We're going to put together a good show tonight. We're going to get a headset back to Andrew and try and figure this out. All right, 713-780-3776. We can line up phone calls now. 713-780-3776.
We all gonna sing the same song.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to the show. We got ourselves under control here. A bit of a rocky start here tonight with my lack of the ability to plug in a microphone, but we're back and rolling tonight. We got a good show in store for you. Again, reminder, Danny Gonzalez coming up later tonight. He witnessed live in Qatar the Argentina World Cup win. He is Argentine. We'll talk to him about that experience. Victor Arise is going to come on. We're going to break down some MLS general. We're going to talk Houston Dynamo. Want to get your thoughts tonight on the Houston Dynamo too. We will give away tickets to the Dynamo opener coming up against Austin FC, not this weekend, the following weekend. So that is a big one as well. Big thing going on this weekend. A great Houston soccer community event. It's called Kick Cancer. It's a soccer clinic that is led by the Dynamo Soccer Club up in Cy Fair. It's March 12th. All the proceeds benefit Snowdrop Foundation, a 501c charity for pediatric cancer. It's open to all. So don't think that you have to be a part of that soccer club. It's open to everybody. Whether you play for Rise, Albion Hurricanes, it doesn't matter. You sign up at dynamosoccer.com. Guests, former pros, there'll be testimony there. We do want to build up the numbers a little bit so we can make a nice donation. Sunday, March 12th, 3 to 5:30. That's what time it is. Dice Park. Everybody knows where that is. Go to dynamosoccer.com. All right. So Erik ten Hag called it very unprofessional right after the game. Here he is. This is Soundbite 31, ETH, talking about his team.
It was really a surprise for me that we, after halftime, so quickly gave the game away. First two goals, two defensive transition moments. First was a turnover, second was a counter. And we make such bad decisions in matter of decisions on the ball. It was in the first one, obviously. But then how we anticipate, how we concede that goal, is really annoying. And then the third was a counter. And also so unprofessional about decisions, not following in. Then running in, moving forward, giving the space away in the back in the midfield, not tracking back, and especially that one, not tracking back. And so and then it's 3-0, then it's the game loss, but then as a team, you have to stick together, and that is what we didn't do, and that was a surprise for me. I haven't seen this for my team, and I don't think it's us. I don't think it's Manchester United. So it's really bad and poor.
While you think about that, when you use the word unprofessional, that is a powerful word. It's not, hey, you know, we were bad at tracking back. We were unprofessional at tracking back. So this is the most honest coach, in my opinion, in the sports world. Now, I'm not following football, basketball, or baseball as heavy, but this is one of the most honest coaches going. This is why he's turned it around, but he called his team unprofessional. Now, here's what his players explained to him when it came to what went wrong.
No, I didn't give them the chance till now. I think we have to talk about that. I only have given my opinion about it, and we will talk about tomorrow. But then I know this team will reset, and we have to bounce back. And we have shown in the past we can.
All right, so that's Erik ten Hag. So after the game, he doesn't want to hear anything. He's seen enough. Get out of there. They were dismantled. All right, Houston Liverpool supporters group, great friend of the show. They generally congregate out at Hugh O'Connor's pub out on I-10. He is Ian Veery, and Ian joins us now. Ian, thank you very much.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for coming on the show tonight. You know, were you as stunned as everybody else watching that second half, six goals being poured on Manchester United in a game of that stature with that emotion?
I think that's a great word, stunning. I think we were stunned, actually. I think, I mean, I'll be honest, I thought we would win the game. I had the score prediction at 2-1 because I thought it would be a very tight game between, like, the two biggest rivals in English football. And it didn't really turn out like that. It was an amazing game to witness in a way.
I was following the commentators on the game, and I thought it was really interesting because even they, you could just tell as each goal went in, even they were astounded, stunned. But you heard the Erik ten Hag soundbite before you came on that we were playing, where he called his team unprofessional. And they just could not run and track back. And he's alluded to the tracking back and all the basics that just seemed to go out the window at 2-0. What did you see?
Yeah. Very similar. I think it's really interesting because he didn't quite call them unprofessional, but he had a very similar take on the game when they got beat 4-0 by Brentford. And he had the guys back in the following day, and they found out they'd run 9.7 kilometres less than Brentford, so he had them all running, and he ran that with them the following day. And I think that was a very important change for the way the team saw the manager. And he, to be fair, he's done a very good job. I mean, 24 points behind Ian,
just let me stop you there. I think he's done more than a very good job. I think he's done an amazing job. I don't think anybody thought you'd be standing here winning a trophy and turning it around like he did after those results that you alluded to. So I think he has done a spectacular job. I think it's a pretty amazing job.
Yeah.
So yeah, carry on.
Right now, he's got to be... You know, I mean, I don't know. It's going to be really interesting how they respond to this game, because they've got a huge game on Thursday against Real Betis. I mean, we play Bournemouth, who in the reverse fixture, that was the 9-0 game that saw Scott Parker kind of lose his job. And then we play Real Madrid, and we've got to turn over a 3-goal deficit at the Bernabeu, and then we don't play again till April the 1st. So
let's go. We're talking to Ian Veery here, Liverpool winning this game. All right, so what does this mean for Jurgen Klopp? What does this mean for Liverpool? Legitimately now a shot at getting into the Champions League places, I would think, don't you think?
I think it's interesting that we're sort of going through a very similar range of emotions that we did two seasons ago, where we just fell off in the middle of the season, and then we had to storm back up and actually ended up finishing third, with the Alisson wonder goal against West Brom and some other great situations that happened for Liverpool. I think this year is going to be harder, though. I think with Newcastle, the way they're playing, and Spurs are still buzzing around, I mean, they're definitely up and down. Newcastle have hit a bit of a slump, so we'll see where they go. And now Chelsea look like they've turned a corner in the last couple of games as well, with a win over Leeds and then beating Borussia Dortmund 2-0 at Stamford Bridge. So I think this year's top four. I think obviously Arsenal and Manchester City are probably duking it out for the top two. I think at the moment Manchester United are almost a lot for third. So there's going to be three or four teams fighting for that fourth place.
Ian Veery, Houston Liverpool supporters group. All right, let's talk about Liverpool, because if we're really being fair, this is a reboot. This is a rejigging of this machine that was so consistent and played this scintillating, eye-popping soccer for a number of years. This is a rejig. You got Cody Gakpo, you got Darwin Nunez now beginning to percolate, start to understand the Premier League, produce, but there's going to be changes in the summer. Is that the sentiment around Liverpool fans, that this is a bit of a reboot? Sadio Mane left. You know, some guys are getting a little longer in the tooth. Is that the sentiment you feel? Or, you know, do Liverpool fans still think we should be on top of the world like in the days of Mane, Firmino, and Salah up front?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, I mean, a reboot is a great word. I think definitely with the way we started the season, I would like to have seen it a bit more of a steady transition where we didn't have to drop off quite so much. But at the back four, like Konate, Van Dijk, Robbo and Trent, when those four start, we've only lost one game in the time that they play together. So that may be the back four of the future. The midfield for me definitely needs an upgrade. I mean, Elliot had a phenomenal game on Sunday, but he needs help. And, I mean, Henderson's always up for a game against United. And Henderson, I think, has been a great captain for us. But he's just getting a little bit older now. And, I mean, that counter-pressing, the high-pressing that Klopp demands, where Liverpool do swarm teams, you've got to have the legs to be able to do that week in, week out. And I think the midfield is where we have to invest in the summer.
All right, Ian, let's take a listen to Jurgen Klopp here. This is soundbite number 34, and here's Klopp, no words to describe the game.
No words, spectacular football game, eh? Outstanding. Starting the game was really exactly what we needed. It was super front-footed, super lively, super active. Played top football against the team in form, and then first half, got a bit wild in a way we didn't want it. They came a bit, got a bit of foot into the game, and then we scored this incredible goal late in the first half. Incredible. What a pass. What a finish. So fantastic. Yeah, and second half, obviously, the start was pretty good. The finish was pretty good. Everything was pretty good. Yeah. That's football. It can happen. How I said before the game, United plays a super season. We are not really happy with our season so far, but that doesn't mean anything for the game, because you still have to play this one, and today we were a clear better side for this moment. And we got very important 3 points for us, so feels good.
So that was Liverpool head coach Jurgen Klopp. Okay, so he alluded to that first goal. By the way, I know he was talking about the Robertson pass to Gakpo, but let's give Alisson some credit for sticking that diagonal ball right on the left foot of Robertson. I mean, that's a spectacular goal all around.
I've got to say, yes, Alisson does that. If you remember, the last time we talked about Liverpool, we talked about the fact that Van Dijk does not play those balls anymore since he came back. And also, we used to see a lot of those sort of balls from Trent and Robbo and vice versa. And we didn't really see that again until more on Sunday, where they were pinging the ball across the field and just were able to then quickly move Manchester United's defence out of position. And that's the way the sort of Liverpool have played under Klopp.
Well, Leanne, listen, we're going to let you go. Thank you so much for your thoughts. I'm sure it was an incredible day at Hugh O'Connor's watching that game, and thank you so much for coming on. I want you to get off of that cloud, though, okay?
Well, I think, yeah, we might be off of it next Wednesday. Hopefully not, though. We'll see, because the Barcelona 4-0 is in the back of my mind. So, as you know me, always an optimist. So, we only need to score 4 goals at the Bernabeu and another clean sheet, which we've had 5 on the bounce now, apart from the Real Madrid result. So, definitely some progress.
Optimism is the key word there, Ian. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. Great stuff. We appreciate it. All right, Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 rolls on. He's a great guy, Ian Veery, and the Liverpool supporters group is a big one. All right, so last week, our guy AY, we were walking him back off the ledge. I guess AY just left, so we might have lost AY. But that, oh, is he on? AY, it's a different story today here. 2-0 over Dortmund. Chelsea's back.
Glenn, how are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm glad to hear you in a better mood here.
Yes, I'm in a better mood for today. But, you know, okay, I won't say but this back-to-back wins just bought Potter this season. I think definitely he can't be fired again this season, no matter what. He's going to stay. And I'm saying, yes, it's been a while I've felt this kind of feeling with Chelsea. It's been a while. But I'm happy that at least maybe we could win the Champions League. Just maybe.
Well,
so that's the situation for now.
Well, listen, momentum is a big thing. You get a goal from Raheem Sterling today. You get a penalty from Havertz. He had to retake it after there was encroachment. But it's a tremendous effort at home to score 2 goals. Hold Dortmund scoreless and advance in the Champions League. I mean, this is an incredible moment here. So who's to say they can't maybe get some confidence, things begin to gel? I have not seen the Chelsea fan base like that in a long time.
Yes. It's like, you know, though for me personally, I'm just not, I still feel that Potter can't get us there. Right now, the only way Chelsea can qualify for Europe next season is winning the Champions League. That's winning this season's Champions League. And that's more of a dream than a reality, with the way we've been playing. But you never can tell. I'm still not confident, but this has been a good week. And I've not had this week, this kind of week, in the last 6 months. When it comes to Chelsea, that I've not been like this for 6 months. It's been loss, draw, loss. Well, as you said, maybe we can get the momentum back after winning and get a place in Europe for next season.
You know what? Hey, you know something? I can tell how deep your love and fandom and passion is for Chelsea. I mean, I can hear it in your phone calls. And I was worried about you last week. I got to be dead honest with you. I was a little worried about you. You were so down. But tell me about why this means so much to you. Why Chelsea means so much to you. Why the way they play and their results mean so much to you.
When you support a team, it's just like when you support the Houston Texans or the Houston Rockets. You know, when they are not playing well, the bottom line is that a true fan, if you are a true fan of a team and your team is not doing well, it will affect your day, it could affect your week, it could affect your psyche. But you say that you are a fan of a club and you're, whether they are winning, whether they are losing, you don't care. I'm not a true fan. It's just that we supported this team for a long time. Can you remember Celestine Babayaro?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, Celestine Babayaro played for Chelsea in the early 2000s. That's when I've been supporting the team. As far back as when Marcel Desailly of France transferred from AC Milan to Chelsea. That's when I've been following this team, 1998. So it's not today. Yes, we've had our bad days, we've had our good days. But when you see the team that has no, when there's no focus, when we focus, and due to coaching or due to something, you have to be concerned, because we have rivals, and our rivals are not even laughing at us. They are pitying us. How come Chelsea is gone down? No more trolling, no more beefing, but just sincere pity. That means your club is not doing well. But I hope we get our momentum back with these two wins. The win against Leeds in the Premiership and this qualification for the quarterfinals of the UEFA Champions League. Let me not hold you back. I know you have a lot of callers. Always nice talking to you.
AY, you're the best. I'm glad you're in a good moment right now. I love your passion for Chelsea. I love your passion for the game. You're one of the great supporters of this show. Thank you for calling in tonight with that. All right.
You're welcome. Bye.
Such a great guy. So AY, I think, was driving an Uber, and I was doing a live show once somewhere, and he walks in and he goes, "Hey, I'm AY. I call the show." It's incredible. What a gentleman. But hey, they always say, if you're a fan, you got to suffer with your team as well as the good times. So we know what the bandwagon fan is. We do know what that is. But we also know the ones that are the real fans that are going to suffer. So, whew. AY, he's got me fired up. I love that passion. Love that passion. All right, Advantage BMW in Midtown. Get down there, see Justin and Steven. It's Advantage BMW Midtown. You go down there, you're going to get excellence in service. They're going to get you in the best pre-owned, new BMW. I'm in an X5. I've had sedans. Absolutely love the vehicles. It's Advantage BMW in Midtown. They're going to get you in the right vehicle. By the way, the service is incredible. I mean, it's top-end, high-end service. It is the best. Advantage BMW Midtown, proud sponsors of Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We'll take a break. We have more to come.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
In goes the corner. Cleared only as far as Nelson has to get his shot right. Yeah!
97th minute. Reese Nelson against Bournemouth completing an amazing comeback. Mikel Arteta said, quote, loudest and most emotional moment at Emirates. Thomas Partey and Ben White also scoring goals in this. That restored the five-point lead over Manchester City, who got a 2-0 victory over Newcastle. We welcome you back. We remind you, this is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. They are bilingual. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, they will work for you. All right, so Andrew Carlson, who was grinning like a Cheshire cat. Now, you told me that you listened to that goal call in 15 different languages. How many really?
At least 15. We've got Japanese, Korean, Danish, like down the entire list. Spanish, French, Arabic, legitimately down the list. We listened to it in Portuguese. We listened to it in Spanish. There was a website that like had all of these different goal calls in all these different languages. 15 might be stretching it, but it was probably about 10.
Yeah, so were there any that were more interesting than others, and who was the most emotional?
So I think obviously the most emotional was the Arsenal radio call, because they have an in-house radio broadcast they do. BBC had a fantastic radio call as well. Other than that, I think that probably the Japanese call was my favorite.
Wow.
They lost their minds.
So did a few people. All right, so does this type of result here and the way this comes off and taking the full 3 points, does this make you feel at this point maybe this is the year of destiny as well?
It's hard not to, right? I'm not a believer in fate. I'm not a believer in destiny. But at the same time, the way that some of these games have gone over the past just few game weeks, honestly. I mean, you've had the 90-plus minute winner against Manchester United. You had the own goal winner that bounces off the head of Emi Martinez away at Aston Villa. And then you have this in the 97th minute. It's hard to not get that sort of feeling. And look, I'm just trying my best to keep my feet on the ground, Glenn, because every single week that passes by, you believe more and more and more. And this season has been the most incredible season I've had supporting Arsenal by far. Like, this has been, over the last 12 years that I've followed and watched this club, this has been far and away the most fun I've had, and I'm just trying to enjoy the moment a little bit, because you don't want to get too caught up in everything else, because you don't want to let it sour anything. This has been just so much fun. I can't really explain it.
He's AC. He's Andrew Carlson, producer extraordinaire, also producer of The Wheelhouse, but is such a great addition to our show. Do you watch these games by yourself? Do you watch them with friends? How do you do this? Do you ever go to the Arsenal supporters group in town? You know, what's your kind of your game plan when you tune into games?
It depends. I'd say more often than not, I'm watching these by myself at home. But there are games, especially the bigger ones, where, I mean, for instance, the game against Manchester United, we went out to a bar with a bunch of friends. I had some Arsenal supporting friends, some United supporting friends. We went out as a group of like 10 or 11 people to a bar to watch it, and it was a good time. But I'd say generally, probably a little over half the time, I'm watching the games by myself and just losing my mind like a psychopath.
Yeah. Well, at least do you have padded walls at your house?
Well, currently I'm with my parents for the next 2 weeks, so they weren't super happy this past weekend. But other than that, typically,
I will, haven't convinced your mom and dad to be Arsenal fans?
No, they haven't quite caught the bug the way I have.
Okay. Do they wonder what's wrong with our son?
They did a little while ago. I think they've just sort of accepted it now.
Yeah. What is this crazy thing our son is into? Arsenal? What is that? Gunners? What is that? All right. Let's soundbite 20. Here's Arteta on comebacks and relating that to character.
A lot. I think the team showed, an individual showed today, a different level of willingness to win, determination, and as well initiative. Because when the game gets ugly, there is a moment that you can lose momentum. You can start to hide and start to navigate through the game. And the players didn't do that. They wanted the game. They wanted the every time the ball, they took risks, they took initiative, they kept trying till we broke them down. So it was great to see that from the team.
That's a fantastic character examination piece right there. I don't think there's any question. And then you kind of compare and contrast that to what happened with Manchester United, where you had guys giving up, which is still inexplicable to me, because they're having such a good season. And to not leave Anfield with a level of pride and trying to keep the score respectable and all those things that, you know, you would say if you were a Manchester United fan watching that. 713-780-3776, number to call in. Anybody have any takes? Manchester United, Liverpool, Arsenal? What do you have to say? 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. Here's Arteta on what's going through his mind in a moment like this.
Crazy. It's like you lose sight of where you are. I started to run and I didn't really know what I was running to. And then I saw a kid here next to me. Then I give it to security. But just looking the faces of everybody, the staff, the players, our supporters with that smile, that joy in their eyes, it's just great to live.
This is why you play the game. This is why you want to be involved in the game. I know this is why I'm involved in the game. And to hear it from guys at this level, you know, we got AY on one hand talking about what Chelsea means to him. We got Andrew Carlson talking about what Arsenal means to him. You got Arteta, the manager of Arsenal, what it means to him. It all counts. Doesn't matter what level you're at. It all counts. The passion, that's what this game brings out. Brings out tremendous passion. All right, one more here from Arteta on if that moment was the greatest experience in the Emirates. I think I referenced this earlier.
Probably yes, the loudest and the most emotional moment that we have lived together. Obviously, the journey that we've been in together, you know, and how the supporters and the team are gliding together, adding the moment, the important moment that we had today, it was really special.
And an unlikely source, Reece Nelson. Speak about Reece Nelson a little bit, and you know, obviously when a play, you know, if this team goes on to win the Premier League, you're going to put circles around these moments, right? Every team needs good fortune. Every team has to win games on off days. Every team has to have a level of consistency. You know, there's so many factors that come into this. There's nobody who's going to be able to call in tonight here and tell us the reason why an entire team wanted to stop running against Liverpool when they're your greatest rivals. This is an area that's unknown. Nobody knows the answer to that. You may think you do out there. You don't know the answer to that. Why these guys all of a sudden just said, that's it. I mean, it was like throwing their hands up. No mas, no more. I don't want any more. And they were lucky it wasn't 9 or 10. So what might this mean to a Reece Nelson, a player like that who produces this type of a goal?
Glenn, you're spot on. You don't win anything without moments like this, anything of true significance like the league, the Champions League, what have you. You need to have these sort of moments of fairy dust, of magic. And for someone like Reece Nelson, who'd been at Arsenal since he was 8 years old, Glenn, this was Bukayo Saka before Bukayo Saka was a thing. He was, in Arsene Wenger's words, the best 15-year-old I have ever seen, the most talented 15-year-old player I have ever seen. Someone who was training with the first team at 16, 17 years old. And his career got a little bit sidetracked. It was him and Jadon Sancho back in the day when both of them were coming up in the English youth ranks. They were the two crown jewels of the English youth system. And injuries, a lack of confidence, all of a sudden things spiral out of control for him a little bit. He doesn't necessarily recognize some of the promise that he once had. But at the same time, he's only 23 years old, Glenn. And he's someone who Arteta has always raved about his talent, but has always said, you know, there's a thing here or a thing there holding him back. And for someone like that who is Arsenal through and through, to have been at the club since he was 8 years old, to have that sort of moment, to come on the pitch, to assist the equalizer, score the winning goal, and that sort of moment, just it doesn't get more perfect than that. Arsenal fans would have loved whoever scored that goal, but to have it be someone like Reece Nelson who understands exactly what the club means and holds the club in such a dear place means a little bit more.
Well, and what it may mean for his career. This is the type of moment that all of a sudden platforms you to a level of confidence, maybe more opportunity. Who knows? Because as much as he's only 23, that is getting older in the Premier League. I hate to say it, but that is absolutely the truth if you have not established yourself. All right, let's talk a little Chelsea Borussia Dortmund. So Raheem Sterling, here's the 35th minute goal from Raheem. Now, this was a huge win, as AY mentioned earlier in the show. Here's Raheem Sterling.
Chilwell, good advantage play. Sterling! Still Raheem Sterling! Yes! In you don't succeed. Try, try again.
Now, by the way, this game was won in controversial fashion because there was a penalty awarded. Kai Havertz went to take it. He took it, did not score the penalty, and they said there was encroachment. So they redid the penalty, then Havertz converted. Here's what it sounded like.
Kai Havertz, for the second time of asking. This time he finds the corner of the net. The corner he was aiming for a couple of minutes ago. Kept his cool, kept his nerve. Gives Chelsea a two-goal lead on the night and a 2-1 lead on aggregate.
So to those of you who say don't ever let the same guy who's missed take a penalty again, that defeats that theory for the moment. Borussia Dortmund midfielder Jude Bellingham was probably not going to be there after this summer. Called Chelsea's retaken penalty a joke. The referee was Danny McKelly. And basically they reviewed the incident. They subsequently awarded the spot kick. The first one Havertz missed. He hit the post, as we mentioned. There was encroachment. A bunch of Dortmund players had gotten into the penalty area before Havertz had struck the ball. So that's the law, and that's why it was retaken. Then the German international converted it. That was a 2-1 aggregate. I think what Bellingham's upset about is the initial penalty call, the handball, which Bellingham said after the match, I'm not sure more what he could have done with his hand. That in itself was disappointing. The fact that they had it retaken, I think that's a joke also. So all around it was a joke to Bellingham. But Dortmund's out, and marching on is Chelsea. And if ever there was a team that needed a big win, Graham Potter and company did. And I watched that game today, a large portion of it, and Stamford Bridge was alive. There's no question. I hadn't seen it like that in a long time. By the way, Christian Pulisic came on later in the match, so our first Pulisic watch in a while. Benfica 5-1 over Bruges. That was an obvious big beat. Now, this is New Order, who are coming to town at the 713. Andrew Carlson probably doesn't even know who New Order is. He doesn't even know what this song is. You know what this is? This is World in Motion. This was the England World Cup song. I'm not even sure where this was way back. Who did you play? Who's at the rodeo tonight?
New Kids on the Block.
Yeah, we ain't playing any of that tonight. We're not playing New Kids, sorry. Even though that's my generation, but we're not playing New Kids. But we are playing New Order. Blue Monday is a great song by them. They come to Houston. So basically, John Barnes and some of the English players are singing on this, and they'll rap in the background. You might be able to hear it, but we probably need to get to a break. All right. It's called World in Motion. Anyway, for any of you who want to go back in time, English fans might know it. We'll take a break here. Soccer Matters is going to roll on here. We're going to start talking Houston Dynamo here. In the next segment, Victor Ariza will join me, and we're going to hit it hard. Time to call in. By the way, right now, can we do this? We will give a pair of tickets away to the Dynamo opener against Austin FC. Right now, caller number 5 at 713-780-3776.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.